T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Everybody loves Raymond.
All right, let's go out to the Nemacolin fan hotline and welcome in my pal, Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette in Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl. And all guests on the fan come to you on the fan hotline presented by Nemacolin. Around every corner, Nemacolin creates real-life magic for guests. Raymond, I understand you had a little bit of travel difficulties yesterday. I'm always fascinated by travel difficulties when they don't involve me. Tell me about your day and how you got to Mobile.
Yeah, well, connected in Charlotte on Monday. I thought I was all set. We're in the air. We're about to land, and the announcement comes over. Heavy fog in Mobile. We are diverting to Birmingham, which is a four-hour drive away. And I spent my night in Birmingham Monday night, finally got here yesterday. So I'm glad you're reveling in my misery.
I didn't say reveling. I said I'm always fascinated when they don't involve me. I would never revel in your misery, Ray. So didn't you get delayed out of Birmingham, too?
Yeah, two-hour delay coming out of Birmingham. Finally got here yesterday. That's the most important thing. Got down here yesterday in time to do my job, and I'll be here the rest of the week reporting on the Steelers and, you know, some of the 2023 draft prospects they're looking at.
Well, I want to talk to you about some of that, but I got to ask you about your reaction to the big story of the day, the Tom Brady retirement again.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, there's all kinds of speculation. Would he go with McDaniels in Vegas? You know, he can go out there. But when you look at it, Ron, what, 46 years old? I mean, the only other quarterback in NFL history who ever started a game when he was older was George Blanda. And at that point, George Blanda was a backup, and he only came in, you know, when there was an injury. So, I mean, the guy's done it at such a high level for a long time. Just before I came on with you guys, I saw Bill Cowher, you know, tweeted a congratulatory note to him. And, you know, we all know Cowher had his share of difficulties defending Tom Brady. I guess Cowher and many others can say that over the years.
What, I mean, this has to be it, right, you would think. I don't think he's going to do this. 40 years ago, or 40 days after his last retirement, he comes out of it. I don't see that happening. Do you?
No, I don't. I think it might have been a different situation. You know, if Tampa Bay was in a little bit better position to compete next season, I don't think, you know, their roster, you know, since they won that Super Bowl, it's kind of declined a little bit. And then you look around. I mean, you know, eventually, Ron, I mean, who wants a 46-year-old quarterback, right? We saw some of the negatives with Tom's play this year, you know, he certainly wasn't the same. So, you know, can't go on forever, but, boy, the guy had a good run, didn't he?
Oh, man, I would say so. How about the coaches' hirings yesterday? The Denver giving up a first and second round pick to get Sean Payton. Is that a deal that you would have made if you're Denver? And I assume they're hoping he can turn around Russell Wilson somehow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Sean Payton is a really good offensive coach, but, I mean, is Denver ever going to have any draft picks? I mean, you keep trading away, you know, draft picks the way they have in recent years. I don't know how you're going to build a roster. So, Yeah, I mean, I think Russell Wilson maybe can still play. I mean, last year was bad. But listen, if there's a coach in the NFL who can get that turned around, you know, look what he did with Drew Brees. You know, another guy who was said to be too short. You know, Russell Wilson is probably similar in that vein. So, you know, if anyone can do it out there, it's Sean Payton. I just wonder how you build a roster. I mean, they're going to have to be signing free agents right and left to compete in that division.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And then Houston hiring D'Amico Ryans, a defensive coordinator from the 49ers. Our friend John McClain just giving this hire rave reviews in Houston. I guess Ryans played for the Texans. I'm thinking that might be a pretty good spot because they have the second overall pick. They should get their franchise quarterback, right?
Yep, they got draft capital. I mean, I think, you know, the big story down here is that well, it's not a big story for Pittsburgh, but, you know, the Bears are going to stick with Justin Fields. There's talk down here that they're ready to wheel and deal and, you know, trade that number one overall pick. So, you know, there might be one team in front of the Texans, but, yeah, I mean, you got to figure, you know, Bryce Young, Stroud. I mean, there's a couple of good quarterbacks coming out. So, yeah, I agree. That could be a team that's on the rise in the coming years. They don't have that quarterback now, but it seems like it's a pretty good bet they're going to get that guy in May.
We're talking to Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette here on the Cook and Joe show. I just wish Aaron Rodgers would follow Tom Brady into retirement. I'm getting tired of Aaron Rodgers, Raymond.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to stay now, right? Now he's got like 50 million reasons to stay. Year. And yeah, I mean, just thinking about, you know, the Canton 5 years down the road, does he really want to go in with Brady and have some of the spotlight taken off him? So, you know, I think Rodgers, you know, is probably, I think he's better than Brady at this point. But again, like we saw with Brady and the Buccaneers last year, it can deteriorate pretty quickly. And the Packers didn't have a great season. You know, I thought they, you know, they showed some signs late in the season that maybe things were getting better. But to me, he's got all the reason in the world to come back, not only the money, but, you know, the whole thing with Canton down the road.
Well, getting back to Brady, we all should have the golden parachute retirement plan that he has, right, to go to Fox. Yeah. What's he going to make, $37.5 million? That would be a little easier for me to step away, you know?
Yeah, I guess he could just switch places with Sean Payton. You know, Payton was working for Fox. They can just put Brady in there. I mean, that's a really interesting dynamic with the TV. Greg Olson, really, I think, surpassed Tony Romo this year as the top color commentator on TV. And now you have the situation where Brady presumably is going to walk in there and be the number one analyst. So, you know, I think we might see Olson you know, end up at CBS or NBC or one of these other places. I think that guy is excellent in his analysis. And I'm sure Brady will be too, but it's just kind of odd.
Raymond, they're not paying Brady $37.5 million to be number two. I just can't see that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he can go to the studio maybe. He's going to be the number one guy. And maybe Olson goes to the studio, or maybe he lands somewhere else.
It's funny. We were talking about this the other day, and I know you and I both don't get to see a lot of games because we're at the Steeler games. But I like Chris Collinsworth. I just saw him on TV talking about Brady. I think he's terrific. A lot of people would disagree with me. What do you think about Collinsworth?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with Chris. I mean, to me, like, it's just being around Pittsburgh as long as I have. When I was a kid, Bob Trumpy was one of the big analysts, and all the Steelers fans hated him because he played for the Bengals, and you know they think he talked poorly about the Steelers. You know, I think Steelers fans kind of have the same love-hate relationship with Collinsworth. Maybe they think he doesn't give the Steelers a fair shake sometimes, but boy, he's been doing it what 10 or 20 years now as NBC's lead guy. He's pretty good at what he does.
Talking to Ray Fittipaldo of the PG here on the Cook and Joe Show. All right, Ray. Dulac reporting yesterday that a contract extension for Tomlin, though maybe not imminent, is inevitable before the season started. 2-year deal would give him 4 more years, take him through 2026, which would be 20 years here. I don't like the timing of it. I don't want to fire Tomlin, but I think I'd wait until after this year to extend him. He signed for two more years as it is. Where do you come down on that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, clearly the offense has to improve. But if you've listened to our talk, in the last week or so, and some of the quotes that are out there, I mean, it's not even on his radar that he's on the hot seat. So, there is precedent for this, Ron. As well as I do, Bill Cowher had a rough run in the late 90s. People back then were squawking about why are they giving him a new contract? And then, boom, the 2000s come around, and, he has that great, five-year run to end his career when he gets the three more AFC championship games and finally gets that Super Bowl ring. So, I'm sure Art, looked back on that time. It worked out when, he was patient with Cowher, and I think maybe this is a time now where he's been patient with Tomlin. I will say I just think the Steelers are in much better position now to get back to prominence. Maybe they were in the late 2000s. They got a young defensive core now. Young offensive core to go along with a very talented defense that's really still in its prime. So I think the Steelers are in a position to make it back to the playoffs. And maybe I'll be singing a different tune, next year if they don't make the playoffs. But I'm like Jerry. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he inks that extension at some point here in the spring or the summer.
Oh, nobody's surprised. I don't like it. I would make him wait until after this year. I say one thing, the Matt Canada decision better work out for him, Well, maybe it doesn't have to work out for him. If he signed for four more years after going into this season, so what if Canada doesn't work? They're not going to fire him with 4 years left.
You're probably right about that, but I agree with you, Ron. I think his decision to bring in Matt Canada when he had zero NFL experience and then to hire him 1 year later as the OC, this is going to be a big thing during Mike Tomlin's coaching tenure. Did he make the right decision there? Because if he didn't, he's starting over again very late in his career, and that next hire, that one's going to be even more important. So you better hope it works out. I know there's a lot of doubters out there, but agree with you on that.
Are we among them, Ray? I don't think you were in favor of bringing Canada back. I certainly wasn't.
I wasn't, but, you listen to what Art says about the continuity. I'm sure that's what Mike Tomlin was thinking as well. Just, you got that young quarterback. You want him to stay the course and maybe, not relearn an offense in his first off season. I certainly get it. But again, it better work out in 2023.
All right, Ray, you're in Mobile, Alabama at the Senior Bowl. Give us a little description of what's going on down there and your early impressions of what you've noticed.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a little mini NFL combine down here. Lots of agents here, obviously scouts and coaches and GMs. And, you don't have the top talent, the top draft eligible talent here this year. Here in Mobile, it's only the top senior prospects, but there's some guys who are definitely on the Steelers' radar. Offensive and defensive linemen and cornerback are the three positions I'm really concentrating on most down here. Some pretty good offensive tackles and guards that might be available, and as well as some corners and some defensive backs too. So this is a good spot for the Steelers last couple of years, actually. They got Najee Harris and Kenny Pickett, two guys who competed in the Senior Bowl, so maybe they'll get a couple more this year.
Well, last year he was looking at the quarterbacks, right? Everything I'm reading said Tomlin spent a lot of time with the O-linemen and defensive linemen yesterday.
Yep, he did. And last year, Canada and Pat Meyer were down here. This year, I haven't seen any offensive assistants. That's not to say they're not here, but, I saw Brian Flores yesterday. Secondary coach Grady Brown, of course, is the defensive coordinator for the national team this week. So it seems like the Steelers are, concentrating on defense this week with scouting. So we'll see how that goes. I wrote about it over the weekend. Ron, this is a defensive draft. You got great defensive backs coming out, and you got a great group of edge rushers. So those are two big needs for the Steelers as they go into the offseason. So it's not a surprise that Mike has his defensive staff down here to look at these guys.
Ray, I know Omar Khan is down there. Have you seen Andy Weidel?
I have not seen Andy, but I would be surprised if Andy is not here. Yesterday, I saw Omar with Mike, and they were with Grady on the sideline. So I'm sure Andy, even if he's not here, he's deep in the draft preparation. He's the guy who's going to be putting together the draft board, for the first time since Kevin Colbert retired. So Andy's going to be a big part of this process.
Yeah, I mean, is he going to have a lot of say here? I mean, he's getting a lot of credit for, man, they put together a good team in Philadelphia, and I know Howie Roseman, the GM, getting the lion's share of that. But I have to think Weidel sees the value. To me, the thing about the Eagles, that offensive and defensive line, they just maul people.
Absolutely. I wrote about Andy when the Steelers went to Philadelphia. I think it was late October, early November. Talked to Tom Donahoe at that point, and Tom told me if the Steelers let Andy do his job, which I think they will, he'll put together the draft board. He said he's going to concentrate on the trenches. That's the way he came up, when he was with Tom, for a short time with the Steelers, and then, at all of his previous stops, including Philadelphia, where he was with Tom as well. You get those trenches situated, you build from the inside out. And that's how you get back to being a contender pretty quick. And, we all know the Steelers can certainly use some help on that aging D-line. And even though all five starters are coming back on that offensive line, I think the Steelers might address that position as well this offseason.
Ray, what do you think of the Super Bowl matchup? Were you surprised that Philly just blew out San Francisco? I know the quarterback situation in San Francisco contributed to that, but your thoughts on how good Philly looked and your thoughts on the Bengals and Chiefs. How about that officiating, Raymond?
you could talk about the officiating every week, but it was, it was certainly some questionable calls there on Championship Sunday. If the Eagles are still favored, and I know they were the early favorite, usually I go with the best quarterback, but Mahomes is obviously a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts, but, he's hobbled a little bit. And, this Eagles team, they're just that complete football team. They get after you up front on offense and defense. And Hurts, even though he doesn't pass for a lot of yards, he's dangerous in the running game, and he makes a lot of good decisions. So I'm kind of leaning the Eagles, but, anytime you got Mahomes on the field, we saw this against the Bengals. I'm sure he wasn't 100%, but he just kind of willed that team to victory. So I'm not counting him out. But, I think the Eagles, the way they're playing, they're going to be tough to beat.
I think Mahomes has a chance to be the best ever. He's not going to win 7 Super Bowls like Brady. I'm not sure he won't be remembered for more talent, if you know what I mean. Well, he's not going to last 23 years probably either.
Yeah, in 10, 15 years, if things do unfold that way, what happened on Sunday against the Bengals, that's going to be like his Willis Reed moment, right? That there's all these, things we look back on over legendary careers, sort of like bullet points on the resume. And, he when he's healthy, he's like an acrobat out there, going every which way, making plays. But doing what he did Sunday to overcome that injury and to play the less than 100% and to lead his team to victory, I'm sure down the road we're all going to look back on that as, one of the highlights of his career.
How about Juju going to a Super Bowl? He was dancing around on the field even though he was hurt, right? He didn't hardly play in that game.
Yeah, hopefully he's ready to go for the Super Bowl. Justin Watson from South Fayette, he was a healthy scratch in the championship game, but the Chiefs are a little bit banged up. Maybe he gets to suit up for a Super Bowl. Miles Sanders from Woodland Hills. Gets a chance to start at running back for the Eagles. So there's there's a lot of Pittsburgh connections down there. But, I know a lot of people have different opinions on Juju. And, I don't think it ended well for him here, the last year or so. But, boy, that guy was a good teammate. And you almost never heard any of his teammates talk badly about him.
I said he was dancing on the field. He likes to dance on the field, doesn't he?
He likes to dance on logos, too. That's one thing that probably got him in trouble here in Pittsburgh.
Ray, appreciate the time as always. I guess we'll talk to you again Friday morning when Starkey's back. I'm sure he'll have some interesting quick association questions for you. Good luck in Mobile. What is it like to stay in Mobile?
It's a pretty small town, but I'll tell you what, it's 70 degrees down here. I'm enjoying the weather while I can, so I guess I can't complain.
You find anywhere good to eat on that Post-Gazette expense account?
There's a few good places, yes. I haven't decided on the spot yet for tonight, but, it's some pretty good southern cuisine down here.
Well, I hope you have a great week, and I hope when are you coming home? I hope it's stress-free as opposed to going down there.
Well, I'll let you know how it goes on Friday morning.
See you, Raymond. Thanks for the time. Okay. Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette does fabulous work covering the Steelers. I would urge you to follow him on postgazette.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Going to talk college basketball in just a minute. Pitt, North Carolina tonight. You'll hear that game here on The Fan. Pitt has had quite a run against North Carolina. Won 4 of the last 5 in the series, including a two-point win here on December 30th. But I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking hockey. You heard Doc Emmerich on in the 10 o'clock hour. Just terrific. Matt, how can people gonna hear Odyssey.com and go to the Odyssey app? How can I hear a replay?
Yeah, you can go to the Odyssey app. You can hear that as if it were live. You can go back and listen to that segment. It was at 10:40. It should be marked there in your Odyssey app. Mark it.
Terrific stuff.
Legendary hockey broadcaster Doc Emmerich.
Terrific stuff, as you would agree.
Yes.
Pointed out interestingly enough, Doc's a big Pirates fan. He gets frustrated with the Pirates, though. Pointing out how the Pirates payroll this year is projected to be $7 million less than the Penguins' payroll. The Penguins are right up against the cap. One of the reasons why Ron Hextall's hands are kind of tied here as far as trying to make some sort of move to get this team turned around a little bit, they're right up against the cap, and I'm not sure what he's going to be able to do. They're in the playoff field as of right now, and I know Starkey thinks they're in better shape than I do. He points out that Jari has missed games, that Letang and Jeff Petrie have missed a lot of games, that they're overall in pretty good spot. They're in the 8th seed. They're in the final wild card slot with 57 points in 49 games. Right behind them is Buffalo, with 56 points in 49 games. Buffalo had won 5 in a row before losing at Minnesota on Saturday. And then the Islanders are only another point back, 55 points. Now, they played 3 more games than the Penguins in Buffalo. But they just made a big trade for Vancouver's Bo Horvat. The Penguins need to get it going a little bit here. They're just flat. They're stale for whatever reason. And I don't know, they're not getting any scoring from the third or fourth line. The defense hasn't been very good, but again, you could argue that's Letang and Petrie being out. And Jari's missed so many games. To me, they can't win without Jari. And I'm cautious when I say that, because the last time I said they couldn't win without a player, I said they couldn't win the cup without Letang. And they did.
And they did.
I said it before the playoffs, before the series started against Washington, and before Game 7 against Washington, and they proved me wrong. I don't know that they can win without Jari, A, being healthy, and B, being on the top of his game.
And I do think we're talking about two different teams here. Like, those teams were a lot deeper than this team is. You know, that team that was missing Letang, they had some more options there, and they had depth scoring that you just don't see with this team. I mean, the reality is they're top heavy. I mean, their bottom six, we knew that this was going to be a concern coming into the year whenever you kept everybody. And they haven't gotten production out of those that bottom six, and that's what's killing them. It's gotten them to be really a mediocre team so far. And you've seen regression in other parts as well. I think, you know, on the blue line, they've had injuries, and they've had guys kind of regress. I mean, Brian Dumoulin, he's not the same guy.
I mean, the teacher's pet, Marcus Pettersson's been their best defenseman all year. You know, I wasn't in favor of bringing back Malkin, certainly not at the term they gave him. At his age, but he is not – he's played his usual crappy defense a lot of the time, but he's still averaging, what, a point a game? Still an offensive force. Sid is having a terrific year, and Letang has played better since – what a year he's had with a stroke, the death of his father, then he had a lower body injury. I think he's played better since he's been back. It hasn't been those guys – but I think Brian Rust has had a pretty lousy year. They signed him to a new deal. Mm. Another guy they brought back was Raquel. I think he's been pretty good.
He's been good.
He's been, you know, the only guys, Rust, I think, of the core group that they brought back has been a disappointment. What they did, the deal with Kapanen, I can't even begin to explain. Was it 2 years for like $3.5 million each? And then the deal the previous year with Jeff Carter is looking like
looking
a disaster,
worse.
Too.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have much left. So I think Hextall gets a mixed bag here, but I'm not sure what he can do, who he has to trade, who other teams would want, and how's he going to bring in somebody with that salary cap? It's got to be money for money, body for body, as Doc Emmerich said.
And I'm not going to rip him for bringing everybody back because – I wanted that, you know.
I think the fans wanted it and the team wanted it.
Right.
Sid wanted it with the most important thing.
And as you just mentioned, those guys aren't the problem right now. It's the rest of the roster, and you know, maybe you could argue that bringing those guys back put them in this position where they can't necessarily build the rest of the roster because they're up against the cap. I mean, I think the biggest mistake so far that he's made is with Kapanen, because that's just been money
terrible
down the drain.
And I think Carter looks like a bad signing now,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, he's falling off, too. So they're in a tight spot right now. This just might be reality. I mean, I don't know what moves they're going to legitimately
make. 16
years
in a row for the playoffs. It's going to end at some point. It's the longest streak in North American sports.
I'm still not ready to say that they're going to miss the playoffs, though. They're still that little bit left in them. They've still got the core there that's been there, done that. I do think they rally enough to get into the postseason. But again, we might be talking about the same story.
Well, then they go to Boston right now, and it looks like they could get beaten four straight up there. Although Boston's lost three in a row, which is shocking considering what's their record. I wrote it down today and had to look at it twice because I couldn't believe it. 38-7-5. They have 81 points, and that's with a three-game losing streak.
Jeez. Yeah, they're just
seven better than Carolina. The next 7 points better than the next highest point total. That's ridiculous what they've done.
And if their goaltending is an issue again, if it's questionable once again as they head into the postseason, now we've got some time until that happens, and hopefully Jari can get healthy here.
They can't win without him. I'm not. DeSmith is just. He's not going to carry you.
It's just a shame that it's the same storylines again that we've had the past couple seasons.
You know, I hate to call Jari injury prone. And I mean, he played on a broken foot in the playoffs last year, Game 7. I'd never question his toughness, but his injuries are inarguable. They're just one after another, right? And I know, you know, I always think when I talk about injuries, I think of Maurkice Pouncey. Man, he looked at me like he wanted to kill me when I used the word injury prone around him. Mm. And he goes, "What do you think?" He said, "We're 300-pound men banging into each other. We're going to get hurt. You know, we're not pushing pencils around." He said that to me. And the goaltenders, they get run every game. I don't know how they don't get hurt more, actually. I mean,
yeah.
You see guys going to the net hard, and occasionally they go to the net too hard.
And that might be the most significant move they can try to make at the deadline, is to bring in a veteran backup. I mean, I don't know if Casey DeSmith is good enough to hold his end of the bargain
right
until Tristan Jari gets healthy. So
again, no, you got to find somebody,
exactly.
And you got to find somebody to fit under
easier
the cap.
Easier said than done.
It is. right at an hour from now, 1:40, we're going to finish the show talking to Jay Caulfield, get his thoughts on all these things, Penguins. I can't urge you enough to go to the Odyssey app and listen to the Doc Emmerich interview. It was just priceless. Doc is one of a kind. You can follow us on Twitter. It's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. You also can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates remind you to text responsibly. Let's talk a little college basketball tonight. But maybe we'll get back into the Brady talk, too, in the next hour. In case you missed it, Tom Brady announcing his retirement this morning after 23 seasons. Again, you know, he even joked about for good this time. We'll get back into that as well. But I want to talk a little college basketball with a good game tonight. Pitt at North Carolina. You'll hear it here on The Fan at 7 o'clock. Man, Pitt can take a big step towards the NC2A tournament with a win tonight in Chapel Hill. It's Cook and Joe minus Joe with Folsy right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
I've never heard Starkey tell that story. Did you hear that in that little spot he did right there?
No, I didn't. What did he say?
He said that he once went to a girlfriend's house on Valentine's Day, and I guess he picked up a bouquet of flowers on his way.
Yeah, I did hear and it. And it all blew away or whatever. Nothing but jaggers and a bush.
Stems.
I can imagine. I can't wait to hear about his trip to Buffalo with his bride. I can't believe she putting up with him without the kid around, without the dog around. Just her.
One-on-one time.
With Joe. I mentioned this earlier. Could you imagine being married to him? Now, listen, I'm one to talk. I'm sure there are people out there saying, can you imagine being married to Cook? But can you imagine being married to Joe?
Hey, he's a romantic, I guess. Got right in the middle of the week, taking off work.
Taking
to
a
go
day
out
off
on
to
a
go
date.
To a concert that she wanted to see in Buffalo.
Man.
A nice Italian dinner last night.
He's stepping up.
He did say, I was thinking about this last night when the West Virginia game was on against TCU, 9 o'clock. He says, oh, I'll be watching that one. I don't think he was watching it last
night.
Yeah. I'll have to ask him about that tomorrow. West Virginia loses last night to TCU, 76-62. Would have been a nice win for 76-72, excuse me, for West Virginia. They, according to Joe Lenardi's latest bracketology, one of the last four byes, so that means, you know, they're in the tournament but clinging. I don't know what last night's loss will do for that. Lenardi has Pitt and Penn State both in the final four in, or not final four in, the final four in, which means they'd play, have to play in the play-in games. I believe they're still in Dayton, and he has Pitt and Penn State playing. That would be fun if it happens that way. Now, Pitt can take a big step towards a much better seeding with a win tonight at Carolina. I can't believe earlier in the year I would have thought that tonight's game at Carolina would be a big one after Pitt lost at home by, 25 to West Virginia, got killed by Michigan by, 31. And now all of a sudden it's a big game. Pitt goes into it tonight, 15-7, 8-3 in the ACC. I know the ACC is down a little bit this year, but Pitt's had a nice season, coming off a win against Miami where they came back to win that game. And they've done well against Carolina, Maddie. They've won four of the last five in the series, including the 76-74 at the Pete on December 30th, a great game. I remember watching that one. And they're the last team to win at the Dean Dome. This was a year ago basically at this time. They won 76-67 at Carolina, and Carolina has since won 12 home games in a row. So Pitt trying to make it 5 out of 6 tonight. This would really enhance their chances, wouldn't it?
Man, it's so much fun to have Pitt be like this again, to be good. I know it's not to the level that they were back in the old Big East days, but it's a different brand of basketball as well. But it's not to say that it's not fun to watch. I mean, they've changed. I think they're more of an ACC team Now,
well, they're a veteran team. These guys are 23, 24.
Sure.
They're transfers coming in. They're only going to be here 1 year.
But credit to Jeff Capel, because that's not easy to have a bunch of guys come together.
And gel them together.
Yeah, and be able to play this well. And so I've been very pleasantly surprised by this entire season so far. And I love that they play to their strengths, that they shoot threes, that that's what they're good at. And
what,
so
they
shoot
18 of them the other day they made?
Yeah, it's a huge part of their game, and it's not like it's to their detriment. It is what keeps them in these games. It's why whenever they're down by 12 with 7 minutes left, that you still feel okay about it, because they can rack up points very quickly. And that's something that a Pitt team, I mean, when was the last time that was true of any Pitt team? I can't remember. Wasn't a Jamie team wasn't like that. I mean, they won in other ways, of course, and still very fun to watch, but man, I've been watching these games and waiting for the bottom to drop out of it, just as a cynical Pitt fan, but it really hasn't so far. It's been great.
Well, you know, the schedule sets up pretty – there's no real great teams in the ACC this year. After this, they have Louisville at home next Tuesday. Then they go to Florida State, which beat them here. But they're probably a better team than their record. But then Boston College, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Syracuse – Notre Dame's a good team, and then at Miami, the last game of the regular season is going to be difficult.
Only one team currently ranked left on the schedule, and that's Miami at 23. I mean, for right now, so.
Yeah, Carolina and Duke are not ranked. Is that correct?
24, I think Duke is.
It's not a great year. It's not a great year for the ACC. West Virginia. Losing last night, they're 13-9, only 2-7 in the Big 12, but the Big 12 is stacked, isn't it? It's very, very good. That would have been a nice win for West Virginia last night. They didn't get it, but they're actually in the field as of yesterday, I guess, before the game, according to Lenardi. And how about Penn State? We never talk about Penn State basketball. They're 14-7, 5-5 in the Big 10, and they're coming off a win against Michigan. They beat Michigan by 22, the same team that beat Pitt by 31. I'd love to see Pitt and Penn State in the tournament. It's not Pitt-Penn State football by any stretch, but it's still a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it is, just because it's those two schools, and also it's because it is in basketball. We don't ever see that. And how many times, as I mentioned earlier, have Pitt and Penn State even been in the same NCAA tournament at the same time? And so I think if it makes sense, if both of those teams have the resumes to match up against each other,
it would be fun.
Yeah, I would hope NCAA matches.
Penn State can make
up
a big statement tonight. You know who they play tonight?
Who's that?
At number one, Purdue. At number one, Purdue. I don't anticipate they'll win that game, but, man, they beat Michigan by 22. I mean, even if they put up a good game against Purdue, I think that would help their resume. Purdue, everybody says, clearly the best team in the country.
With Ethan Morton, Butler's own, right?
Yeah.
At Purdue.
He's had a pretty good year, correct?
Yeah. Big 6'7".
It's just more fun when all, you know, and I consider Penn State a local team. West Virginia certainly a local team. But the thing that makes this season fun for me is Pitt basketball has become relevant. They sold out the Miami game the other day. I couldn't believe that when I saw that, because I just remember last year, there couldn't have been 2,000 or 3,000 people in that building. And I go back when it rocked. It was rocking and rolling in there. I'll never forget the end of the game the 1 year when they were number one seed. They beat UConn, which was number one in the country. They beat them twice. Both times UConn was number one in the country. And that Saturday afternoon, that place just rocked. I'll never forget that. And then the next day, they end up – well, no, they didn't. They ended up going to the Big East tournament. And then they found out they were a number one seed.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun when Pitt basketball was relevant.
It was. It was. And the Big East, too, is what made it. The style, the brand of basketball, how deep that conference was. I mean, it was perfect.
I want to ask Mike DeCourcy, by the way, is up next right after the update at 1 o'clock. Probably college basketball's preeminent writer. A Pittsburgh guy, used to work here in Pittsburgh. Can't wait to talk to him about college basketball and Pitt. And I also want to ask him, to me, the game has changed so much. I want to find out if he still finds it as enjoyable as he used to. It's all about transfer portal now. That's how Capel has built this team. Pitt honored its 2003 team on Saturday, and guys like Brandon Knight and Julius Page and Ontario Let, these guys stayed and became better. Mm-hmm. Now, these guys from Pitt, I'm not even going to know them. They're going to come in, hopefully win a lot of games, and then leave. And they start, the process starts over. I wonder if DeCourcy thinks that's as much fun, because I don't. I don't think it is. But it's a part of the game now.
You're right.
It is the game.
It is the game.
It's not Pitt's doing nothing wrong. Duke does this. Carolina does it. They all do this.
I mean, in a perfect world, I'd rather have it like it was in 2003, where you get to know those guys over years. You watch them develop. But I can understand why it is the way that it is now, you know, considering the NIL deals and all that. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. And I think over time, you know, the players, they're, I don't know, I don't want to say their rights or what they were able to do as compared to what coaches were able to do. There was a mismatch there of us in terms of who's actually bringing in the money for these programs. So the player empowerment movement, I guess, I've been on board with, but this is just a kind of a nasty side effect of it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.